Jim Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The job market was hot last month. The Labor Department showed that a better-than-expected 216,000 jobs were added last month. The economy is going to be a major factor in November's election, and today President Biden gives the first speech of his re-election bid. ABC White House correspondent Mary Bruce has more.
In a big speech in Battleground, Pennsylvania, he will argue that this race is an urgent fight for American democracy, that Donald Trump and far-right extremists are a threat and a danger to the very freedoms on which this country is founded. And of course, this is a familiar theme for President Biden. He argued the 2020 campaign was a battle for the soul of this nation, and his campaign says that that threat to our democracy has only grown.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the Middle East, the U.S. is trying to reduce the risk of the Israel-Hamas war escalating. Police in Iowa have not given a motive in yesterday's shooting at a high school that left a sixth grader dead and five hurt. The shooter was a 17-year-old student. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts were just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Truckers and other commercial drivers are on the front lines against human trafficking in Wisconsin. State troopers are training them on the red flags potential victims may raise.
For every victim that's recovered in a trafficking investigation, there are, you know, just an infinite number that aren't, that go unnoticed. And that's kind of the sad reality of it.
That's Trooper Sean Bryan of the Wisconsin State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. Authorities in Waupun are investigating what they're calling a suspicious death after officers found a 74-year-old man dead in a home early yesterday morning. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says the man did not die from natural causes. Waupun authorities are not offering any more information, other than the Wisconsin Department of Justice State Crime Lab is helping with the investigation. Laboratory tests show the bird flu is likely what killed nearly three dozen geese last month at Duck Creek Quarry in Howard. Some of the dead birds were sent to Madison to be tested by the Department of Natural Resources. The test results are back now, and Howard's animal control officer says they point to suspected bird flu. The quarry and trails around it are closed and will stay closed until at least five straight days of no sick or dead birds. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. You know, two of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL, Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields on what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans of the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We
We have a little light snow on the way tonight, tomorrow into tomorrow night. It's going to be a long-lasting, very light snow event. Less than an inch, I think, here by the time it's all over and done with. Today, mostly cloudy, 32. Tonight, light snow, 26. Tomorrow, more light snow with a high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy. I don't know. Earlier in the week, one of the main Hezbollah organizers was assassinated in Lebanon.
Actually, that was Hamas organized.
Hamas, yeah. Hamas so, organized.
Yeah, and he was assassinated in Beirut. And so that was part of, you know, I guess the Israeli announced at the beginning of this that they would seek out Hamas wherever,
anywhere
and everywhere. And of course, it is true, however, that, that doing such acts in a country can be viewed from an international law standpoint as a, as an act of war. Depending on how it was carried out. So, you know, it's there's no question that Netanyahu has an interest potentially in taking on Hezbollah and neutralizing Hezbollah at the same time as they're dealing with Hamas. That's a much bigger venture. Hezbollah is backed by Iran. There are ongoing problems and have been ongoing problems up at the Golan Heights, up at the border there with Lebanon, with rockets and with occasional incursions. And there is no question that there needs to be a long-term solution undoubtedly there as well. But that would be a lot for Netanyahu to bite off, number one. Number two, the United States, he could only do that, I think, with the support and backing of the United States. My understanding is that the Biden administration has been admonishing Netanyahu not to open a front at Lebanon and with Hezbollah at this time. But we'll see. You know, Netanyahu seems to be a bit of an independent actor. And he's, quite frankly, walking Biden down a very difficult path here in the United States politically, because there's no question that there is growing questions in the United States about how it is that the United States aid is being used by Israel in the conduct by Israel of their war with Hamas. And there certainly are questions on the international level about that, but it appears that there's a growing potential for this to be a problem for Biden in the next presidential campaign.
So yesterday, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat in Massachusetts, became one of the highest profile Democrats to demand no further aid to Israel without conditions, citing a right-wing government that's demonstrated an appalling disregard for Palestinian lives. her call came one day after Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont, called for an end to further U.S. aid to Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government, arguing in a statement that Israel's response to the October terrorist attack by Hamas has been grossly disproportionate, immoral, and in violation of international law, and that the U.S. must no longer be complicit in destroying the lives of innocent men, women, and children in Gaza. Those are very poignant and bold statements from two well-respected senators of the United States.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not exactly like the Republicans balking at aid to Ukraine, but it's a demonstration that bipartisan support for foreign expenditures, particularly foreign expenditures in the process of carrying out warfare, should come
with some contingencies.
Well,
right?
Yeah, are need to be carefully premeditated, and there needs to be consensus. And
regardless of whom it is.
Yes, and Henry Kissinger did a bunch of things that I wouldn't be proud of, but he had this concept of real politic that was simply a matter of pragmatism. The United States should not get involved in foreign matters unless it really matters to the United States and there is a unification in the United States of view with respect to it. And, you know, that requires leadership. It requires transparency. It also requires force so that, you know, one of the problems with our dealings with Israel is that their lobby in the United States is so powerful that I think it's difficult for leaders in the United States to be very direct with Israel about the kind of constraints. I mean, Donald Trump clearly was a bit of a lap child for Netanyahu and did everything that was being asked of the United States, transferring our embassy, doing all kinds of symbolic things. I think that with respect to this matter in Hamas, it's going to require, it puts a president between a rock and a hard spot because he's going to have to take on Israel directly in order to secure the outcome that's necessary. I think they're doing a good job of doing it behind the scenes, but by doing it behind the scenes, it's leaving him vulnerable to attack. During an election time, yeah. And so, you know, this is a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation for Joe Biden. And I think what he's just got to do is find the right course and follow it.
So Benjamin Netanyahu is, and I read this the other day, I forgot where it was, he's marshaling Israeli forces on the border, tanks and all.
Well, I mean, putting force on the border of Lebanon. Yes, I think it's clear. I mean, I think there's satellite.
It's phase three.
Well, there's satellite proof of it. But putting a defense there doesn't necessarily mean you're going to cross the line and take an offensive. It could be that you're putting it there to discourage the Hezbollah from any further conduct aimed at the south from Lebanon. And so, you know, it's not at this point should we jump to the conclusion that he's massed there for the purpose of crossing the border on an offensive. But, you know, dare he not do that?
So, Sandy, and I guess before we go to the phone lines, the point I'm asking of you, sir, is the escalation. This could very easily now spiral out of control. Is it safe to say that?
Well, and ever since it started, it has the potential to spiral out of control. Arming yourself in a defensive posture at the Golan Heights.
No,
is not necessarily going to put it out of control.
No, I mean the rocket that apparently struck in Lebanon, and because they're now talking retaliation.
Well, Hezbollah. Yeah,
Hezbollah.
Maybe that's exactly why they've put the military up at the border, so that Hezbollah will be more reticent about and reluctant to initiate an offensive or a counteroffensive. You know, the war is complex, and the problem with any war is it has the potential to spin out of control. And part of that will have to be based upon restraint that's either exercised by the United States or imposed by the United States into a circumstance in which the United States has a great deal of sway. And I think it's not at all clear that we don't have sway with Iran. While on the surface we have a very hostile relationship with Iran, We actually, I think, have ongoing negotiations with Iran, and Iran is interested in having sanctions against it reduced, which is something that is held, a power that's held by the United States.
So the Biden administration officials are drawing up plans for the U.S. to respond to what they're increasingly concerned could expand from a war in Gaza to a wider, protracted regional conflict. Good morning to you, David. How are you doing? You say what?
Good morning. So if you've been following all this, you've noticed that the U.S. military has been, they actually sunk three boats in the Red Sea. And it was due to the fact that I think it was the Houthis that were firing upon the U.S. Navy. And the U.S. Navy took care of it. They destroyed them, except for one boat, one got away. And you've now seen the fact that I think ISIS was just involved.
Yeah, but that's a needle in the haystack, you know, in the Red Sea.
Well, Dave wasn't finished, but I do think that what's interesting to me, and it should be a lesson to America about the complexity of the Mideast, is the fact that the service, the memorial service, the annual service for Soleimani, the general that was assassinated by us, had this huge disruption, and it was apparently carried out by ISIS, which demonstrates the lack of cohesion in the Mideast, where there are different factions. There are Shias, there are Sunnis, there are Arabs.
But we've been aware of that, right, as a government?
Well, I'm not sure that our policies have always demonstrated our acute awareness of that, but, you know, there is definitely there's a strong difference between Iran and Saudi Arabia, for instance, and the two of them are maybe getting closer by getting pushed together in a way, but there are lots of nuances in the Mideast that need to be considered, and the Houthis, for instance, are a part of that complexity.
David?
So I was going to say really quickly, so you have multiple factions, the Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Palestinian Authority. They're all pretty much basically this kind of one and the same ideologically. If you don't agree with them, they're going to try to just kill you, basically. That's their goal, is to make things unstable. And that is the overall goal, is to eliminate anybody that's against them. And it's
so David, let me ask you, David, is this certainly in their beliefs of this is all tied into Israel and what goes on there, right? And the Palestinians.
Well, I mean, I think first of all that he lumped together some. I'm not sure. I'm confident that Hezbollah and Hamas have a view that stability is something they're against, particularly as it relates to Israel. The Palestinian Authority, particularly in the West Bank, it's not clear exactly where and how they operate and what their theories are. But you know, it is a very complex situation, and it's particularly hard when
Dave,
the groups that you're fighting are headless.
Dave and Sandy, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Show. That's Grand Funk Railroad. Is that who that is?
Nope, that is Creedence Clearwater.
Yeah. All right. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So, four officials familiar with the matter, including senior administration officials, describe internal conversations about scenarios that could potentially draw the U.S. into another Middle East war. All were granted immunity to speak about sensitive ongoings in national security discussions. Dave from Mequon, you were saying.
What we have going on here, obviously, is multifaceted. You've got a lot of bad actors that are trying to coalesce, to come together, to come to the goal of destroying the state of Israel. That's first and foremost. Number two, what we have going on here is also we have, in addition to everything else, you have obviously the United States is one of them that's, you know, helping Israel at this time. But in addition, like Sandy was pointing out, you have Iran, which is helping out some of the bad actors, as I call them. And along with Russia and North Korea. And unfortunately, it is, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in war. And a lot of these people that are saying, well, Hamas and everything else, keep in mind the Palestinians that live in Gaza put those individuals in power. They were voted in. And some of those, I've been reading articles in the New York Times. They're multi-billionaires.
Hey, Dave.
These head leaders of Hamas.
Hey, Dave. There are Jewish people who put Netanyahu in power, and they're regretting it now, many of them.
Netanyahu is not the one who started the attack. Netanyahu is responding to the attack of what happened.
So, but the issue,
on October 7th.
So the issue is not about whether Netanyahu was wrong in responding. It's the depth of the response that is bringing out questions across the planet.
Well, you know, to step back from it, I think that there's no question that there is an issue associated with Hamas. And however, the problem we've got is that both Hezbollah and Hamas are sort of stateless organizations. They aren't, it's not like you're dealing with Belgium, a government that you're going to sit down and negotiate with. You're dealing with something else. And so the numbers of Hamas are something that's extremely uncertain. We don't know how many there are. And, you know, depending on who you are and what your intelligence are, you have a different number. But long-term, is the question, what is the answer and what is the solution? And I have talked to a number of people who are sophisticated and knowledgeable about the situation in Israel. And one of the quick responses I get is that the Arab countries need to take more responsibility for Gaza, and that that therein lies a problem. I mean, that everyone, I think, recognizes that the situation in Gaza has, in some respects, bred the problem of terrorists and people willing to carry out terror, because obviously terrorism is in some respects a suicidal mission. And so then the question is, what does that mean? Arabs should take more responsibility for Gaza. And does it mean that it needs to be depopulated of Palestinians, or does it mean, what does it mean? And Dave, you're obviously, you have relatives there, and you are very interested in the Israel situation, but what is, other than the effort to get rid of Hamas through warfare, which obviously can't succeed 100%, what is the solution, do you think?
Obviously, to your point, a coalition of between the Israelis and be it Egypt or Saudi Arabia or something, there has to be a joint effort to get the situation to where, yes, I mean, you look at Israel, it's the only Jewish state on the planet, okay? And it's a problem for some of these ideological people that are against Israel. They don't want Israel around. But the state of Israel was created, obviously, because of the Second World War and because of the Holocaust. And we have to keep in mind that that's one of the reasons why it was put in place, because of that circumstance.
Although just Dave, I don't mean to interrupt, but just so we have a sort of a dialogue, I do think that the states that have, or the Muslim countries that have been most evocative about and attacking Israel, have done it on the basis of attacking the treatment of the Palestinians with Israel. So that it always comes down to that problem, because without that problem, most of those countries don't have a rationale for their arguments, right? But they argue that it's the Palestinians and the condition of the Palestinians within Israel that needs to be remedied. And some of the talk about getting rid of Israel as a state is I think, a kind of a...
It'll never happen.
Well, no, I think it's a reference to a one-state solution in which all the Palestinians would become citizens of what is Israel and would become a majority instead of a minority of the citizens, and therefore Israel would probably lose its religious state quality. But what don't you think, Dave, that the solution, that some of the problems with the Mideastern countries does relate to the Palestinian condition?
Well, it does, because those people see their brothers. The Palestinians are their brothers.
What I'm saying here, Sandy, is specifically, it's more than just the Palestinians. This has been going on since the state of Israel has been created.
Well, except Dave, the state of Israel, the creation in 1948, began with this problem with the Palestinians. I mean, there was first the War of Liberation by Israel vis-a-vis the British, etc. But then they were left to their own devices to solve the problem with the Palestinians. And it's true, the Palestinians wouldn't accept the proposals made for what their geographic territory would be. But there was warfare between Israelis and Palestinians beginning in 1948.
I understand that. But what I'm saying to you, the bigger thing is that when there has been concessions or granted, tried to resolve this, it's been rejected time and time over again, way before even Netanyahu
Dave, it certainly has been rejected because the other side didn't feel that it was equitable. And in negotiations, that's what happens. We got to take a short hiatus. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join the conversation.
The home of the largest fly-in in the world,
We are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State health officials say 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes has high radon levels. Radon's a natural radioactive gas that can cause cancer. A test kit costs about $20, but some communities are giving them out for free or at a discount. Health officials urge schools and businesses to test for radon, too. 41 Milwaukee public schools are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. It provides a better atmosphere for play and for learning.
Behavioral referrals go down, injuries go down, and kids are more productive in their play.
That's Lisa Neeb. She's with Ruffalo. That's the nonprofit that's helping with the project. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. Appleton police say crime went down 24% last year compared to the year before. It's the fourth straight year the crime rate went down in Appleton. Police say they responded to 358 calls for serious crimes like assault, burglary, robbery, sexual crimes, and drunk driving. Back in 2020, that number was over 1,100. Police say they're happy to see the safer trend. The next sturgeon spearing season on Lake Winnebago might be the last. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service might put lake sturgeon on the endangered species list before the end of June. Congressman Mike Gallagher and Senators Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin are urging the agency not to do it. They say the sturgeon population in Wisconsin is healthy, and sturgeon spearing boosts the economy by $3.5 million a year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. You know, two of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL, Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields on what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans of the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We have a little light snow on the way tonight, tomorrow into tomorrow night. It's going to be a long-lasting, very light snow event. Less than an inch, I think, here by the time it's all over and done with. Today, mostly cloudy, 32. Tonight, light snow, 26. Tomorrow, more light snow with a high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Yeah.
Guy and I are about exactly the same age.
He's still performing. So.
I know. I like to I'd like to think I am, too.
I think it requires a little more energy than sitting down and having the dialogue.
Well, you should see me, boy.
Hey, he's traveling all over the world.
I know. I know.
How do they do that?
I don't know. After the London, this guy went to the London School of Economics. And then,
oh, really?
Yeah. Got a degree there, and then he graduated and went on to bigger and better things.
So they just released an album last year. You know, so, but we would have never thought that he would, who would have bet that they would still be around?
All of them. I mean, the odds, I mean, I can see one or two of them making it through, but I mean, all of them.
I know.
And I'm not, I think Jagger probably lived the healthiest life of them all.
Yeah. What's the guitar guy that looked 100 years old when he was 22?
Harrison? No.
No. That lead guitar guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And he looked 100 years old at 20.
Yes.
He's still around. 844-967-2789. You know, you're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Wish. So, Sandy, for those who don't know, you are a graduate of Harvard. Start to say Yale. Let's see if...
No, don't say Keith Richards.
Yeah, Keith Richards. So I was going to say Yale.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a big mistake.
So you are a graduate of Harvard. And the class of what?
Yeah. 1966.
1966. And needless to say, Harvard is one of the most prominent universities in the world. Is it safe to say that?
Well, those who went to Harvard certainly would agree with you. But I think, you know, I think it obviously is a very prominent school. And without trying to be sound boastful about the place I went,
right.
I'm sure that it's viewed as one of the leading universities in the world and certainly one of the leading ones in the country. There are others that vie for the same position.
Yeah. So just recently, Harvard has been in the news. And what is the woman's name?
Claudine Gay.
Claudine Gay. Black woman, clearly the first black woman, gay, to become the president of that prestigious university. Didn't last long. She was there, I think, 6 months. And she's been basically forced out.
Well, I
resign.
Mean, she, as well as the president of University of Pennsylvania, and there are a couple of other university presidents who, and it's actually been kind of a national campaign. There's been people on the right who are describing the strategy that they use to try and squeeze the schools who have been involved in what they, I'm sure from if you were using political jargon, you'd say these schools are being accused of being overly woke, okay?
Right.
And because of their over wokeism, we'll get into that because I think woke is a bit of a dog whistle term itself. Because of this over wokeism, they're under assault, and the effort was made.
The universities
to unseat, well, to change their policies, to change the way they expend money, and to unseat presidents as a symbolic act, showing the power of the conservative thought process.
And that's done by the major donors.
Well, the donors were the part of that squeeze, and the political process was another part of the squeeze. And the squeeze worked. It's worked for two different presidencies. And one of the woke aspect of it that's under greatest attack is this so-called DEI concept, which is also under attack here in Wisconsin.
Right.
There's been a frontal assault by the legislature on the University of Wisconsin with respect to the expenditures in the department they say has been created, which was devoted to DEI. And Earl, what is DEI?
Department of Equity and Inclusion.
Yeah. So diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right.
And so, you know, the DEI movement has generated a great deal of sort of procedural processes in a number of universities as they set up an image or a vision of diversity, equity, and inclusion under sort of their strategic plans. Strategic plans then call for processes to assure the implementation of the vision. And so many of these schools, in order to assure the implementation of their vision of diversity, equity, and inclusion, have set up departments with respect to that. Claudine Gay was actually the head of that process at Harvard before she became the president. And so she was probably primarily focused upon for that reason. And so I would say that in terms of woke, I think woke in general is a term that's being used now that is meant to be aimed at DEI, okay, the process of DEI, and the extent to which they believe that DEI has become too big an influence in processes generally. I would equate this attack on DEI with the same sort of attack on CRT, critical race theory, as both of them being, I think, in some respects at least, the extent to which that they have gained momentum, a dog whistle that relates to the racial aspect of what they're trying to achieve.
You know, Sandy, and at the root of all of it is last summer, the United States Supreme Court basically took some of the teeth out of affirmative action. And when the United States Supreme Court, conservative-leaning United States Supreme Court, did away in some instances with some aspects of affirmative action, this is when this crept up. And so it's been in response to a decision that was made by the United States Supreme Court. And so diversity, equity, and inclusion is under assault. It's going to continue to be under assault until, you know, somebody is able to clearly state that the world is better and our country is better when diversity is in play, because the nation is diverse.
Well, absolutely. And I think that what is being reflected by the effort of major universities is the recognition they have that their student body, the graduates of that student body, are all better off for having participated in a diverse situation, right? Going through right. A university that is diverse in it of itself, that involves diversity and inclusivity. And so for the government to attack that, this is not government action. This is the action of private schools,
right,
for the purpose of achieving an outcome that is part of their strategic vision for what they believe to be in a stronger and better educational experience.
So Sandy, when at the root of all of these things is the campuses have always historically been the places where debate and those kinds of things could happen. And so we could, our country could be tested, and whatever it is we are, those things could be debated or happen on university campuses because they don't happen in regular life. Is it safe to say?
Well, yeah. Universities are the place where young people leave their families, go off on their own, start thinking entirely independently on their own, and are given the opportunity to consider all different kinds of thoughts, to meet and consider all different kinds of people, and to forge their lives. And, you know, that's really the value of post-secondary education, is this process of maturation and independence, which is provided by essentially open forum, an open forum for all ideas and for all types.
And historically, that's what took place on university campuses. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
I say that if I had to start all over again with my grandkids, I would advise them not to go to college. And I'll tell you why. It's because colleges have changed so much that like Sandy said, you know, you leave your parents and then you go out and explore their life. Well, what they're doing is they're teaching these kids like stuff that I would never want my kids
How do you know what they're being taught?
Well, actually, Gary, let me just talk to you about that a minute. Because,
are we going to have a dialogue, or are you going to cut me off?
No, I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is this. My son went to Marquette University, and when he came back, you know, to live at home for a little while before he got married, his thoughts were totally different than what it was before he left, when he was in high school. Now, he's a good guy, and he's a good Christian man, and he raises his kids as a Christian. But what they're teaching now in school, like take this Claudine Gay, all right? Now, when she was asked the question about you know, putting down on the Jewish people and not going out there and saying that, well, this is wrong, you can't do this. No, she said, well, you know, we have to understand why we have this going on. And these people have freedom of speech. Now, if they were talking about taking all the black people and beating them up and killing them and shoving them into the Mediterranean Sea, they would be outraged. But since they're the Jewish people, no, we have to understand that they have that right. No, you do not have a right. She should have came down hard. Now, thank God that she stepped down, but she's still at that school, still teaching the same stuff. No, I don't want.
Just do it now, just Larry. Gary, let's just go on for it. Because school, university is a place that has always been a place that has been an open forum. And they have almost always been accused of being bastions of liberality, whether they are or not. And it's because children leave their family, they go off, and they now are left to think independently and to not have their thoughts forged by where they attend. Claudine Gay isn't teaching very many courses at Harvard. And I guarantee you that at Harvard, there are teachers teaching things from every perspective. And you know what happens at the university? The students select their own courses. If you go to a University of Wisconsin or a Harvard University or any place, they have a course book that is hundreds of pages thick with hundreds of courses to select from. And it's the students selecting the courses. It's not like high school, where when you go to a high school, most of the courses are required and they're handed to you without any choice. So that's what universities are about, is people going off, exploring their own processes of thought and learning from others. And so I'm sorry to hear that you think that you wouldn't send your kid to a university to have that opportunity. Your son sounds like he's come out of it just fine, but maybe he did explore and has explored things that are different than what was going on in his home.
And clearly people will change when they're 18 years old and they wind up leaving home and getting and going on their own. That's the process of learning, Sandy, isn't it?
Well, sure. My family growing up was a staunch Republican family, and I graduated from Harvard, and I was still a Republican, but my views were probably changed some during the process of studying economics there with people, some of whom were quite liberal and some weren't. And had a super blessing. I grew up in Whitefish Bay, which at the time had a capital W, Whitefish Bay. I had never even met personally an African American before I went there. My freshman roommate was black, and he remains my dearest friend.
So let's 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh. Here's show host Todd Albaugh with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. It doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe Pam Jahnke on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, I certainly hope that the year doesn't go by as fast as our show.
two hours does seem quite short.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, guys. You know what? I have never heard so many controlling parents in my life. Here's the problem. If you really want to know the problem, these people that watch Fox News and right-wing hate radio and all of these different things, all they hear are sound bites. All they hear are definitive. This will cure this. Take this pill and this will cure this. You know what? Science, education, academia, it's more than a sound bite. It's more than a one-time talk on a yes-no answer. It's about research. It's about actually showing your sources. It's about all of that. When I hear Gary say, oh, my gosh, my son went from a small town in Wisconsin, and, man, he came back a different person, and we got our hands on him and got him straightened out right. Wow. All I can say is, wow. I am so – these are the reasons why people in Wisconsin, like me, that grew up in a town of 2,000 people, get the hell out of there and move to Los Angeles – and actually have a life for themselves where they can free think rather than having controlling parents.
Hey, Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. And I just want to say, man, you know, I've got three sons, and I don't want my sons to still be thinking the way they were when they were 18 years old in my home. They're men. They have a right to their own views. They're right. Their opinions of things.
Well, here's you know, I want to empathize, and I think Gary's a good guy.
Yeah.
And so he's got a view. I think a lot of America, it's part of fear. You know, the notion of free thinking and open thinking gives rise to the capacity to think about all different things. But my question is, what I wonder what the things are that worry, because this would be an interesting thing for us to understand sociologically. If Gary's worried about his son thinking differently, what are the different kinds of thoughts that he's worried about his son having? What range of thinking do we worry about when we worry about children being educated freely? The Mennonite community, I had an experience in Warren, Ohio, and the Amish and Mennonite community in Warren, Ohio, and I think it's true nationally, stop education at eighth grade. And they do that for the reason of trying to make sure that the thought processes of their children are not opened up, okay, to all of the possibilities and are rendered restricted by the possibilities that are presented to them within their community and through eighth grade. And I think most people would look at that and say, wow, that can't be a good thing for the for the people at large. But we should try to question for ourselves, what is it that we're worried about our children thinking if they are allowed to open up their thinking freely? And because if they have the proper values, then yes. then the ability to sift through all different kinds of thoughts will be solved by their value system. And so, you know, that's what I scratch my head about. I don't understand the fear people have of people being opened up to all kinds of education when they carry with them a value system.
Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. Sandy kind of stole my thunder about stuff, but they're saying that, you know, colleges and everything are changing and everything. Aren't we kind of going through the same thing we did back in the 60s during the Vietnam War, the hippie movement and all that? It's free thinking. And that is the whole thing. That is why that's what woke is. You're free thinking. They're against, Mises calls heretics because your mind is open up when you go to college because you get exposed to others and their views and you start to think about your own views and then you can expand your mind. But this is, again, this is the whole woke thing. They're afraid of people free thinking and being themselves and an individual in a world where we need that, not this, this constant, you got to fall in line and follow what we say, which is kind of like the Republicans want us to do.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, all I can go by is my parents taught me values at a young age. I carry those values with me throughout my life. I've tried to instill those same values in my children. But my children have been free to be who they are, and I have no power over them or no right. The way I see it.
Well, that's the deal with values. You know, it's like birds leaving the nest. Children aren't apt to necessarily reside 3 miles from us. They might reside 450 or 4,000 miles from us. They're beyond our reach. So what we can give them is a value system through which they can sift everything that they will experience. And what a child experiences is not subject to being controlled by a parent. I mean, there's many things our child experiences which we wish they wouldn't right. have to experience. I've experienced many things that I'm sure my parents wish right. I didn't have to experience, but I did. I went through them. And it's our values that carry us through the process.
And I mean, that's the growth of a human being, right? Experimentation is a part of it. And you can't protect adult children from that.
All you can do is hand them a value system, and that's what we give them. And then we ought to encourage them to exercise free flight, given the fact that they have a whole set of values that they're going to carry with them.
Sandy, 1 week down.
Here we are.
How many weeks are there?
We're almost used to saying 2024.
52?
51.
51. Okay.
Well, now we have 51 left.
Yeah, 51 left.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Kevin, for a great week as always. Short week as it was. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Matinier. See you later.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfire and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.